Welcome to the 97th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. It's nice and sunny down here. We don't have any humidity, and it's a great day to be a Floridian. I hope that you all are getting ready for a plant-based Thanksgiving. Things are going well here. From a training aspect, my running is going good. I have my marathon the first week of December, so a couple more long runs and we'll be ready to kind of taper it down again. So that's good. I'm still trying to recover a little bit from my Ironman, a little bit of ankle issues perhaps. So I'm trying to do more slow stuff than fast stuff. I've not been doing any speed work for the most part, just trying to make sure I'm healthy for this marathon and kind of get through it with a smile on my face and perhaps do well. We'll see. So I usually try to do 80-20. So at least 80% nice and easy. 20% of the time I'll let my heart rate go up. But again, I've not been doing any really fast speed work. I'll just let my heart rate go up and run how I feel that day. From a garden aspect, things are going well. We have little beets up, microgreens, Swiss chard. So things are coming along. Little carrots are springing their greens up. Pepper plants are doing well. Tomato plants are doing well. So it's a great time to be gardening in Florida. We have a little jicama growing. Sweet potatoes are blooming. I took out the rest of my okra. Kind of tired of okra after all summer. And we've planted cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, and eggplant. So we'll see how all that goes. Again, the fruit trees are just growing leaves at this time of year, but I do have some papayas on, so hopefully waiting to have some papayas again before long. So that's all fun. It's certainly nice to be out gardening on the weekends without so much humidity. In the news this week, down in my neck of the woods was a big settlement for a local pharmacy to pay $750,000 back to the government for potential abnormal claims, supposedly giving generic drugs where, and then charging back for the name brand drugs. There was no admission of guilt, just a settlement. But my opinion on how to get around that is try to stay off of medication. So the more you can eat a whole food plant-based diet, the more you can get your blood pressure under control, get off your blood pressure medications, your diabetic medications, and your cholesterol medications. So if that's not a good reason to do a plant-based diet, there's many other ones. I was kind of astounded at the price. That's a lot of medications. And so certainly anybody that has Medicare and Part D notes that, when you're on a medication, that retail price gets charged back to Medicare for the medication, whether it's generic or the brand name. But that can go to really increase your Medicare Plan D consumption, and then people are getting the donut hole really, really quick. And oftentimes we as physicians prescribe medications without really realizing the cost. A pharmaceutical representative might be in touting the latest and greatest on some of these drugs and providing physicians with nice dinners to talk about the great ways. And, any infomercial that you've ever listened to, if you listen to it long enough, you are kind of willing to try it. And so if you hear a lecture on how great something is and then free samples are left, and then there are oftentimes these coupon cards are left, and the next thing you know, patients are getting these very expensive brand name medications. And then the next thing they know, they have to fill a prescription on their own. If they go ahead and do that, and either their insurance won't pay for it, or again, they get a heavy, hefty charge back to their prescription plan. So, it's not always a good thing. I was interviewed on a podcast today, actually Lean Green Dad's podcast, and we talked a little bit about, medications and the change of my practice. And certainly, throughout most of my practice, I have to admit that I treated patients with blood pressure medicine and cholesterol medicine and diabetic medications And the goal was to stabilize their disease. So hopefully that by treating a blood pressure to a specific number, as outlined by the guidelines through the medical societies, that people wouldn't have a stroke, heart attack, or death from their high blood pressure or progression of disease. Same thing went for diabetes and high cholesterol. So that was the idea, that we were doing good, or that I was doing good, by prescribing these medications and keeping track of the patient's side effects and titrating their medications accordingly and trying to keep control of their risk factors. When I started doing plant-based nutrition education, all of a sudden I was able to take these medications off. So now my practice is predominantly on the focus on how to get patients off of their medications, not add on. And the only time that we add medications on are if patients can't get things under control on their own. I had a patient this week come in, and he was well-read and watched, you know, the YouTube videos with Dr. Esselstyn and Dr. McDougall and Dr. Goldhammer, which are excellent, by the way, if you haven't, looked some of those up. And, you know, they say that that blood pressure medications have a lot of side effects, and they can do some harm as cholesterol medications. And he decided that he would stop his blood pressure medications because this patient didn't want the harmful side effects that were described in some of these videos. On the other hand, his diet was not nutrient dense enough to allow that to happen in his stage of disease. So he had a worsening of his blood pressure. So then a discussion comes in, well, we're going to have to put some of these blood pressure medications on to stabilize you until we can get your nutrition to kind of catch up with your disease and to help reverse things a little bit. So, you know, it can be very disappointing in some people, especially people that have had high blood pressure for a lot of years, or high cholesterol for a lot of years, and then all of a sudden they, you know, improve their diet dramatically, but it's still not enough to catch up with the disease that they've already accumulated. So it takes a while. And, you know, as humans, we don't really like to be patient a lot of the time, and we would like this to happen very quickly. You know, and as a physician, when I have a patient that's really changed his ways, I feel bad when they haven't achieved their goal quickly as well. And, you know, it takes a lot of investigation to figure out, you know, what's been the holdup and why aren't things progressing the way that they should. So we have to work together. And, you know, oftentimes, I've suggest to people listening that a diary of what you take in is very, very helpful. Because sometimes it may just be those couple nights a week or once a month or whatever that you're eating out that really causes havoc with your cholesterol level, your blood pressure. Or, you know, it may be such that you're picking up some box foods that are organic, that are touted as being vegan, but really have a lot of oil in them and a lot of salt. You know, most box meals, because of the preservative factor, have a fair amount of salt in it. So eating, again, as fresh as you can from the produce aisle is always, you know, the best bet, even if it might be a little bit more boring than some of the pretty packaging on some of the dinners that are put together. Just remember, you pay a price for all those sauces and creams and convenience. So what about the patient who is, you know, really pretty sure that they're doing everything right? I had two patients this week that didn't have really good blood cholesterol results from their panel after trying, you know, to what they thought was pretty much walk the straight and narrow. Sometimes, again, like above, that there's things that slip in that, you know, you didn't realize, whether it's a veggie burger or, like I said, one of these boxed meals or whatever. But is there times where people's cholesterol just won't come down? And I think, you know, certainly there's times when people's cholesterol is elevated, and they have a strong genetic component to it. that it takes a lot longer for their cholesterol numbers to come down. And it, you know, it may take a year for things to gradually, slowly come down, just like somebody that, you know, was hundreds of pounds overweight. It's not going to go back to normal quickly. So if someone has a lot of a lipid burden, then it may take a while for all that cholesterol to, you know, finally get out of their system and to come down and to maybe reboot their system so that they're not making as much cholesterol. So are they at risk in the meantime? Well, to do a little science talk right now, you know, we talk about oxidized LDL or and regular LDL. And LDL, you know, we sometimes refer to it as the bad cholesterol or the lousy cholesterol, is the cholesterol protein component that carries predominantly cholesterol to the rest of the body for use or deposition. So whether it's to the blood vessel wall or to the muscle or different organs to be used into making something else, because we do know cholesterol is used to make certain cell walls and certain enzymes. So there is a use for cholesterol. So the LDL carries this from the liver to the body for deposition and or use. That cholesterol in and of itself is not as dangerous as when that LDL becomes oxidized. So, you know, how does the LDL become oxidized? Well, it's basically a chemical reaction that occurs. And largely, the LDL has to come into interact with free radicals that are in the bloodstream. And free radicals are generated by the ingestion of animal products, in particularly meats and fats, and occur as a reduction of breakdown of inflammation and inflammatory protein. So when these free radicals interact with the LDL, oxidation of the LDL occurs, and all these other chemicals are generated. These oxidized particles are, you know, they're kind of scary sounding names like aldehydes and hydroperoxidases and prostaglandins. But the protein in LDL or the carrier, such as the ApoB protein component, is also damaged. And so these amino acids, part of the protein, are also oxidized, which cause our immune system to get kicked on. And when the immune system gets kicked on, the macrophages or these white blood cells come and they basically are coming to clean up the mess when LDL becomes oxidized. And that is what causes plaque formation. And we know from experiments that regular LDL doesn't lead to plaque formation, but that oxidized LDL is capable of turning on these macrophages and leading to plaque formation. There's also the reaction that causes plaques to become unstable in the presence of this oxidized LDL. And when the plaques crack, then a blood clot can form and a heart attack can ensue. And there's been actually some experimentation looking at different forms of oxidized LDL and how to measure it. And blood tests are on the horizon that we can actually see the people that have the most dangerous oxidized LDL particles are associated with an ongoing myocardial infarction versus chest pain and maybe not so acute problem versus just plaque formation. And I say just plaque formation, it's certainly not just in any way. There is a way to measure LDL oxidation by some of the derivatives that we can tell how much of somebody's LDL is oxidized. And of course, these ApoB proteins on some of these more high-tech blood tests can tell whether or not this ApoB protein has been damaged. And again, that's more of a dangerous situation when that's happening. So what do you do if you have a lot of oxidized LDL, or how can you not have a lot of oxidized LDL? Well, you know, one, we need antioxidants. And in experimental models, when there were antioxidants, basically it chews up the oxidized LDL. So the more antioxidants we have in our system, you know, the more stable things become. The other thing that antioxidants do is they keep these free radicals from accumulating. And by not, so that also helps to not oxidize LDL. And of course, free radicals are largely generated by what we eat. So when you eat a poor diet, you know, the burger and fries, you're generating a lot of free radicals as you break down all those harmful substances, as well as you generate free radicals when you ingest chemicals, contaminants of food and water. And of course, the breakdown of cells. So the more free radicals that we generate, the bigger the chance that we can oxidize our LDL if we have a lot of LDL around. So a whole food plant-based diet, again, comes in when you eat a whole vegetables of color, reds, oranges, purples, yellows, that contain a lot of antioxidants. You're actually helping to stabilize the situation and stabilize the free radicals that are present in your system. So, again, to summarize, you don't want to generate free radicals by eating bad things and consuming poisons, and you want to have a lot of antioxidants from vegetables, fruits, and whole grains to help combat the free radicals. We want to keep the LDL down to a minimum. So we don't want excessive LDL production that can be around if possible, that can be changed into oxidized LDL. So what about the guy that has that's eating a great diet? He's eating beans and rice and vegetables and fruits, but his cholesterol is still high and the LDL is still high as well, because he's generating cholesterol, and that cholesterol, again, is going to be transported to the body via LDL. Well, there's some safety in that, and if the LDL is not oxidized. So as long as you're not putting terrible things into your body, if your body's still making a high amount of cholesterol and there's still LDL around, it's not near as dangerous as if there were, a lot of LDL oxidation. So while your cholesterol is coming down, while you're resetting, if you eat very clean, the danger is much less from having LDL that's higher than other people's. So, there's a lot of patients that I've seen that it's taken a while to get their LDL down, and, some referring doctors get really panicked when that LDL is not coming down and patients have stopped their statins for fear that there's, something bad that's going to happen. I think it's okay to hold the fort and keep eating clean, try to decrease your exposure to these free radicals as much as possible. And I think that, you're okay versus the side effects of the statin, especially in people that have had problems with the statins and with muscle pains and other liver abnormalities. This week was graduation for my nutrition class. We have 6 sessions, and this was number 6. So we always celebrate with a final exam and dessert. And because it's Thanksgiving, my mother, she is known for her Thanksgiving stuffing balls. So yes, they are bread. I preach to people that are trying to lose weight that this is not the greatest thing in the world, but we'll say it's Thanksgiving, and so stuffing balls without a turkey are much better than stuffing inside a turkey. And she doesn't use any oil to cook them. And so basically they're made out of bread that she gets, and toast and onions and vegetable broth and celery and a little bit of miso, and then she bakes them, and they're very tasty. So we served those to the class, and we had pumpkin pie. And the pumpkin pie is, again, there is some maple syrup in it, but it's pumpkin. Use some nuts, some pecans, and so it's a nice treat. And so everybody enjoyed, the festivities. And we talked a lot about, upcoming Thanksgiving, and I'll probably mention it again next week if we get a podcast in before Thanksgiving. If not, we'll get in one right after. But, this is the eating time of the year. And sometimes people fall off the wagon now and don't get back on. And it's the most dangerous time of the year when people are trying to adopt a new plant-based lifestyle, because they have to, go through that hassle of eating with other people and perhaps explaining their diet to them. And we talked about this in class. You know, I think that there are a couple ways to go about it. The one thing that I think is most important is that you don't pretend it doesn't exist. So, you know, you're plant-based, be proud of it. You're trying to become healthy, be proud of it. You're taking steps to change your life, be proud of it. There's nothing to be ashamed of. And we all have, you know, if you're not improving, you know, if you're not changing for the good, and, you know, you're probably changing for the bad. So the fact that you're doing something to help yourself is a good thing. So there's certainly no shame in that. If you're going to somebody's house, you know, you can, you know, if they're family, I think you should discuss it up front right away, that this is what you're doing, and you would like to have their support. You'd like to, you know, you certainly don't want to cause them any grief to make you something special, but you'd love to make a covered dish. If they ask you what you can't eat, you know, you ask them to cook with vegetable broth versus animal broth. You know, can you make some stuffing that's not inside the turkey if they're having a turkey? Can we make the vegetables without butter or oil? You know, that those are things that you could ask. And again, you know, you bring a covered dish. You know, the worst case scenario is that you bring a couple covered dishes, bring a dessert that you can eat, and or just have another Thanksgiving that's more plant-based at home, and you know, eat a little less at that festivity. You know, some people have to go to more than one Thanksgiving. I've never had to do that. But, you know, that certainly complicates things. And, you know, even on a good day, that leads to a lot of overeating. So, you know, pace yourself, that's for sure. Last year, I posed the question on Facebook, you know, what's more important, family or the turkey? Or what they were and getting together with family or the turkey, and I was quite surprised that the turkey won out by a lot of people. And even my own nurse has trouble with her family that, you know, they were worried that Thanksgiving wouldn't be the same without a turkey. And, you know, I think this, you know, I mean, I think it's time to stop and say, you know, what is Thanksgiving? You know, what does it mean to you? Is it really just about the turkey? You know, if you watch all the shows on TV, you know, the families fight and families have malfunction. But when it comes down to it, they're thankful for each other and they're thankful for their health. So you might have to bring that up if somebody starts to to hassle you a lot. But I think that, you know, it's you're not being deprived by not having a turkey. You're sparing a turkey's life, and you're also probably sparing your own life. Because there certainly are a lot of episodes of heart attacks and heart failure episodes over the Thanksgiving Day meal. The other thing that, you know, you have to remember, we put so much emphasis on holidays that it can be very stressful emotionally for people, that the day has to be perfect and things have to turn out okay. And the reality of it is that it's still 24 hours of one day, you know, and that dinner is just a part of that day, and it's over before you know it, and there's so much hype before, and then it's gone. So, you know, I think it's, you know, take some time to, you know, think about other things that happen on Thanksgiving Day, whether it's participating in a turkey trot, 5K run, or a walk with the family, or outside enjoying some weather. Sharing what's happened over the last year with your family. You know, try to take some of the pressure off of the dinner itself. You know, that can always help. And just be thankful that, you know, you're getting together with your family. We had our meetup dinner here in Port Charlotte, and we had a Thanksgiving meal at a restaurant called Tribu, which is a very nice restaurant in Punta Gorda. And the chef works with us to create a no added oil, whole food plant-based meal. That was wonderful. My co-founder, or one of the co-founders of the meetup group, supplied the recipes, and they were excellent. He made a stuffed butternut squash with lentils and farro. There was a lentil loaf with a mushroom gravy, green beans, sweet potato, a nice lettuce tomato salad, and there was an apple crisp for dessert. We had it outside, which is a great thing this time of year, not to rub it into the rest of the world that doesn't have as nice a weather as Florida does right now, but we had an evening outside under the big full moon with lights on the patio, and it was so nice to get people that, you know, for the most part are strangers. You know, two or three people would come as a group perhaps, but everybody got to talk and to meet different people of different stages of their plant-based journeys. A lot of people had had illness that had led to them becoming whole food plant-based. Some of them were struggling to become plant-based or to maintain their plant-based lifestyle. Some people brought friends who had never had a plant-based or vegan meal before. And some people, it was their second year there, and we were able to kind of laugh and talk about the transition of them from one year to the next and how they had refined their diet. So it was all good stuff. Their youngest person there was 2.5 years old, and he has been plant-based his entire life, and his parents were plant-based, so he was plant-based from conception. And the oldest person was in their late 80s and very vibrant and active and healthy. She told a great story. She wasn't the oldest person, but there was one older lady that told her a really good story. Her husband was not plant-based, and still is not completely, but she became plant-based because she had side effects to cholesterol medication and didn't want to take medications, frankly. And so even though her primary care physician wasn't happy with her, she stopped her cholesterol medicines and become plant-based. And I actually worked with her a little bit on the side, and she refined her diet, and she exercised as well, but she kept refining her diet, and her cholesterol profile came down, her weight came down, and her numbers normalized, and she feels wonderful, and she has a tremendous amount of energy. She loves to cook. She puts things away and, you know, freezes them, so she has meals. And she has a quite a large family with grandchildren and children that come around a lot. It's an Italian family. And so a year or so ago, she would make them food, and then she would make her food. And when they saw how beautiful her vegetable dishes were, they would end up eating a lot of her food. So as time progressed, she kept making more and more of her food and less of their food. And so finally, this last family dinner, she had raviolis that she was talking about. She made homemade raviolis, and they were all plant-based. And she didn't serve the meatballs to the rest of the family. And they came in, and she just didn't say anything. And they ate raviolis, and she said she could tell that they were kind of looking around to see if there were meatballs anywhere. And there wasn't. And they didn't say anything, and they just ate more raviolis, and they commented how great the raviolis tasted and how happy they were to be there and how great the food was. And she felt good, and they felt good, and she was happy in knowing that they were becoming more healthy, and it worked out. And as far as her husband goes, you know, he was a staunch meat eater and did not want to eat any vegetables and said he didn't like anything. And she just started over the last year sneaking vegetables into his food. So she would puree vegetables into some of the soups. So he was getting more and more greens that he, you know, would say that he would never eat, but he was eating them without knowing it. And he had a couple interactions. He did come to a couple of the meetups and came to one of my classes with her, and so gradually got rid of the meat and got rid of his filet and his sirloin, and you know, it's down to a little bit of fish when he goes out. And now she doesn't even buy any animal products for the house. So he drinks almond milk, and he didn't even know he switched. You know, he's eating many more vegetables, and he's not getting any meat when he's at his own house. If he goes out or he goes with his friends, then, you know, he may get into some. But, you know, he's doing so much better. And she even said that they were at the golf club, and the waitress came around, and he decided to push the issue and said that he was going to order a cheeseburger. And she kind of looked at him and gave her the evil eye, as you can imagine a 95-pound Italian matriarch would do, and he changed his mind. So I thought that was really cute, that, you know, that that progression. And she's done a wonderful, wonderful job. So, you know, I commend her. You know, and it was great. And, you know, and she's such an example for the rest of the people. She has a lot of friends in the Catholic Church and associates, and she has been such a great lighthouse for them, you know, to show how vibrant she is, how much energy she has, and, you know, what great food that she can make. And she's very generous with her time to help try to educate them. So, you know, my hat goes off to her. You know, and the story goes on. You know, another person that kind of fell off the plant-based wagon that was there, they were so excited to have such great food. They just went on and on about what a great Thanksgiving it was, and it made them realize that you could have a nice Thanksgiving and not have a big turkey in the middle of the plate. And, you know, it really made them re-energized to become more plant-based and to go back on the wagon. And so that was very good. The person that I spoke to, a couple people that was their first plant-based meal and they loved it. There was another woman that was raw vegan at one time, and, you know, life got in the way, and I guess some family crisis got in the way, and she was off the wagon. And, you know, now she's re-energized to become plant-based and to you know, start making dishes again. So, you know, meetup groups like that are very good. They're huge support without being a support group, so to speak. It's just people getting together, having a good time, sharing good food, but realizing that, you know, it is about good times and good food, and it doesn't have anything to do with an animal on your plate. Going back to my class and graduation, you know, every class is different that I have. They're 6 weeks long, and I get to know the people better than I ever did in the office, and I get to see, you know, a side of their personality, and I'm sure they get to see a side of my personality that they don't get to see in short little office visits, which is wonderful. And it's again, nice group of people that are very different from each other, and they share an experience, and they support each other without even noticing it. So if I went through the class, you know, this time, I had a couple that were interested in the environment, that had heard me speak at it's basically a tropical fruit club that I spoke about a plant-based diet, because they had heard me speak at another tropical fruit exposition, or, you know, I guess an expo. And anyway, they came up for the class, and they learned a lot, and they really tried, and they were really happy with, you know, the thing. They were really trying. Every week they cut something else out from their diet that was animal-based and tried the dishes that we talked about and tried the recipes that I gave them in class. And they were even fixing it for their grandchildren, and their grandchildren were liking it. So they were very, very enthused about, you know, continuing their journey. And I always can encourage people to come back to the class. So we do a nominal fee if they want to, you know, what we call a walk-in fee of $5 for anybody that's taken the class. So because I think if you can do that and come back intermittently every year, then it just helps to keep things going in a positive direction. Another guy that was in the class, we found out that he was this huge cow's milk drinker. That he was saying that he drank 3 gallons of milk a week. And as of the last class, he was down to 1.5 gallons of milk a week, and it was all plant-based, nut milk. So that was really good. He was also making recipes. He brought in a recipe for homemade sauerkraut. So he was taking it all in and, you know, becoming more and more plant-based along the way. Probably the person that was the furthest from being plant-based described herself as really a meat lover. You know, I think I talked about her before that, you know, she went into the local vegetable store that we have. It's kind of like an indoor farmer's market. And she kind of walked in and looked around at vegetables she'd never seen or done anything with before and kind of walked out. And then a couple classes later, she, you know, had some cucumbers and mushrooms. It was about all she could come up with when we talked about what she'd eaten. And still really hadn't, you know, went down the vegetable road. And we talked, and she was encouraged by what other people were eating. And I was really happy to hear that last night she actually made herself a plant-based dinner. You know, the whole sit-down dinner that was plant-based with vegetables. So, you know, that was huge, the fact that she's now, you know, getting back in the kitchen and making some vegetables, and she actually enjoyed it. So we made some suggestions, and, you know, I hope that she'll keep dropping in and, you know, keep progressing. Another person is very busy. She's the only plant-based person in her household. Still struggling, but when she goes out, she's ordering plant-based options for the most part. She still has a way to go with label reading and, you know, opening her eyes, I guess, wide open to what the ingredients are. You know, I think sometimes, you know, if you go to Starbucks and you might order a pastry and you don't see the eggs and you don't see the butter, so they're not there. Or you don't know for sure that there's not dairy or eggs in something, so it's not there. So I think, you know, as you progress, you start to ask and actually, you know, ask the waitress, you know, is there dairy in there? Is there eggs? Can I substitute? You know, and that's really the sign of success when you're starting to really think about everything that you eat as far as what's in there. So she has a way to go from there, but I'm encouraged that for the Thanksgiving week, she's actually visiting friends that are vegan. And, you know, hopefully she'll be encouraged by their hopefully helpfulness. You know, she'll be share information with them and get back on the wagon. She's also in nursing school, so... you know, she really, I think as she learns more and more and sees more and more, that she'll be encouraged to continue her plant-based journey. And, you know, we want to try to encourage her all that she can. I have another couple that says pretty much the stars of the class were pretty much plant-based when they got there, have, you know, become even more plant-based. Got excellent news when they went for checkups with their primary care doctor. I think the primary care doctor poo-pooed what they were doing, but she couldn't neglect that, you know, they lost weight and their numbers were good as far as their cholesterol profile and their blood pressure medicines were stopped. So that was a great thing. So, you know, the reality of it is the program, you know, was a success. We have another guy that's off several of his blood pressure medications, cutting back on diabetic medications, weight loss is coming off. We've got him back in the kitchen enjoying making food. And the next step, you know, will be to entice his wife to join him and become plant-based. So, you know, it's all very exciting, and, it's extremely fulfilling for me as a physician to educate people on how to help themselves. You know, I hate to see them go, but they're like little birds that... you know, if they can become plant-based and get off all their medications and they don't need to see a doctor, then that's the best thing I could ever do for someone. So, you know, that's my goal, is to educate and be kind of like a temporary teacher and teach them about nutrition and get them off their medications and send them along their way to take care of themselves for the rest of their life. And I think there's enough people around that I can stay busy for several more years doing that. So I'm very calm. Very confident and very comfortable in doing this for the rest of my practice. And who knows, maybe I'll get to retire early because everybody will be plant-based and healthy. Yeah, we'll see. We'll go from there. You know, I'd like to invite anybody that's in the area to come and join me in my plant-based nutrition class. Again, there's 6 sessions. They're in 1 a week. They occur here in Port Charlotte, Florida. I do want everyone to be aware that January 21st in Punta Gorda, Florida, which is just across the bridge from Port Charlotte, we're having our second annual plant-based nutrition conference with Dr. Michael Clapper and Timory Hagenberger. I hope you join us for a full day of eating whole food, plant-based, wonderful food and hearing lectures and seeing cooking demonstrations, and we'll look forward to meeting anybody in person. Until then, you can find... things about me on drdelaney.com. If you'd like to come and see me as a patient or do a telemed conference, we can arrange that. It's doctordulaney.com. My email is jamiedulaney@gmail.com, and it's jamiedulaney@gmail.com. I'm on Instagram. I post my what I eat a good bit of the time, if I can remember, and I don't just jump into eating it. I have to say I look forward to every meal, and sometimes I just forget to take the picture. I am going to post the recipe for my mother's stuffing balls and my pumpkin pies that I made on my website. And maybe I'll probably take some pictures of Thanksgiving dinner. I have the pleasure of going to my newly married daughter and son-in-law's house for Thanksgiving dinner, who are plant-based. I'm so proud of them. They are looking forward to having, you know, their first Thanksgiving together and having some company. So we'll see how three generations of Delaney women in the kitchen works out. I'm sure we'll have fun. I'm sure there'll be a little squawking, both good squawking and bad squawking a little bit, but it'll all work out. I'm very thankful to get to spend time with them and go for some runs up in Atlanta. And we'll share Addie's Thanksgiving table on the website. Looking forward to seeing it. She's much more creative than I am with her presentations and decorations. So my hat's off to her and her husband, Nathan. Shout out to everybody for Happy Thanksgiving. I hope your plant-based transition goes well. If you have anything or questions for me before Thanksgiving and you're having any panic about what you're going to do, email me and see if I can help you work through it. I'd love to help you have a healthy plant-based Thanksgiving that's peaceful and something you feel good about. So thank you for listening. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy yourself and move around a little bit and keep mobile. Take care.